Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today's readings present us with the choices that the people of God, and really we can say every single person that comes into this world, has to make before God himself. So the first reading we have from the book of Joshua, it says that he gathered together all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, right? Nobody was accepted. And so the same thing can be said or applied to the entirety of humanity, right? These fundamental choices to serve the one true God or not must be made, right? And as I've said before, to try and sidestep that decision, to choose not to choose, is actually choosing in the negative, right? There are no fence sitters. There's no fence to sit on, right? You are either for or against. And so it says he summoned them and they stood in ranks before God, right? Because this decision that we make within ourselves on whom we are going to serve is a decision that we make before God, that he is the judge who looks into our hearts, into our consciences, and he's the one who sees what we are choosing. And so then Joshua addressed the people, and he said, "If it does not please you to serve the Lord," and I thought this brought up a good point to reflect on as well. If it does not please you, what pleases you? Well, we should say that the choices that we do make should not be made on simply what pleases us. And unfortunately, this is not all that uncommon today, that you hear parents saying to their children, "Oh, as long as you're happy, whatever makes you happy," right? That's the worst advice I can imagine. Because it's not about us being happy. That's not what should drive our decisions. What we should be saying and thinking is, as long as God is happy, right? That's what should be the motivator for our decisions. As long as God is happy. And then in consequence, if our choices are made based on that, well then God in turn will make us happy. Sometimes in this life, always in the next. And so if it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve, the gods of your fathers who served them beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites. Right, Joshua is referring to Tareh, the father of Abraham, the river Euphrates, where they came from, right? From the country of the Chaldeans, out of Ur of the Chaldees, right? The strange gods they used to serve there. Or do you want to serve these gods over here that the Amorites are serving? And guess what? They're all idols and they're all demons. That's what Psalm 95 says, "For all the gods of the Gentiles are devils." And so here's the thing. We talked about the fence sitters, those who would prefer not to choose. And a choice must be made because no one is his own master, right? We are either serving the one true God or we are in the other camp and we are serving devils. So this is the choice that Joshua is laying before them, and then he gives a good example on his own behalf. He says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I love that phrase, and this is a very popular scripture quote that is very often placed in the homes of Christian families, and it should be placed there as a reminder to everyone in the house. "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And so the Israelites, they hear this inspiring discourse by Joshua. And because they find it inspiring, or at least in part because they find it inspiring, they're ready to answer with all of their enthusiasm that they are going to serve the Lord. And Joshua cautions them. He said to the people in response, "You will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God and mighty and jealous, and will not forgive your wickedness and sins. If you leave the Lord and serve strange gods, he will turn and will afflict you and will destroy you after all the good he hath done to you." And the people said to Joshua, "No, it shall not be so as thou sayest," right? This is like reinforcing their resolve to serve God. He challenges them a second time. And they further their resolve, and they say, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. Therefore, we also, along with your family, Joshua, we will serve the Lord, for he is our God." And so it seems, in fact, that that generation was faithful to their resolution of serving the Lord. The end of the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 31 says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and of the ancients that lived a long time after Joshua, and that had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done in Israel." Now, unfortunately, the next generation forgot. And so the following book, the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 10 says, "And all that generation was gathered to their fathers," okay, the generation that served the Lord, "and there arose others that knew not the Lord and the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Baalim." Okay, so this is an important message to parents, to be sure that you are handing on the faith as first teachers of your children, both by way of catechesis and by example, so that they do not forget the works of the Lord. And we have the works of the Lord that you can all present to your children. Images in your home. How about having an image of the Shroud of Turin? This is miraculous. This is a work of the Lord, a testimony to the truth of the resurrection of Christ. You can have that image in your home so your children grow up seeing that and understanding it and the tests that have been done on it and the popes that have venerated it. Or how about the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, another ongoing miracle and work of heaven? The fact that the tilma still exists, these cactus fibers that normally speaking decay in 15 years. Another image you can have in your home and explain to your children so that they remember the works of the Lord. Or maybe an image of the Eucharistic miracle of Lanciano, again, to emphasize the truth of our faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. So important that we remind ourselves and remind those, the generation to come after us, of the works of the Lord, so that we can all be resolved at all times to bless the Lord, as today's responsorial psalm says, "I will bless the Lord at all times, not just on Sundays and holy days." So then our Lord in today's gospel is, just like Joshua, presenting a choice for his disciples. And this is a choice whether or not to believe in the words that he has spoken. Now, today's gospel begins with the disciples who are saying, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" What is the saying that they are referring to? What's the saying that we read last week when Jesus said, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. That's a hard saying. Who is going to believe that? Who is going to accept that? Well, Jesus knows in advance, again, as the gospel says. Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. Remember, at the beginning, I had mentioned that the people, all the tribes of Israel, they stood in ranks before God, the one who peers into our hearts and sees everything very plainly. And so, because Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, true God from true God, he as well knows those who would not believe, and he knows also the one who would betray him. We don't know regarding others, and we don't even know regarding ourselves. And this is why we need to be very careful, cautious. As our Lord says, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation, that we are blessing the Lord at all times and not vacillating, one day hot, the next day cold, but that we're always going forward, striving, making progress in the spiritual life. As a result of this, many of his disciples, what did they do? They returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. They were accompanying him. They were edified by his words. They marveled at his miracles. They rejoiced when he fed their stomachs. But now things have become difficult. There's a hard saying to accept. And so many of them returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. They returned to their vomit, as the scripture says, their former way of life. No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We all have our hands on the plow right now. Notice it doesn't even say, no man putting his hand to the plow and going back. Okay? That, of course, that's obvious, as these people do, returning to their form of way of life. They go backwards. That is always to be condemned. But not only that, but merely looking back. Right? When the Christian life gets tough, do you look back and think, you know, were things better before? They were kind of easier, weren't they? I didn't have so many troubles. What's going on? Maybe if I made this or that decision and didn't decide to come this route and embrace this or that vocation, right? That's looking back. And you render yourself unfit for the kingdom of God. Because the sons and daughters of God keep their hands to the plow, and as the letter to the Hebrews says, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the perfecter of our faith, and we go forward. We don't look back, much less go backwards. So always forward. This refers to perseverance. We must persevere to the end. And again, that perseverance is a decision that's not made once for all, but it's made every day from moment to moment. And so we all are in this dynamic in this world of making choices, of making decisions. And so just as Joshua did for the people of old, just as our Lord does in today's gospel, right, where he, at a certain point, he turns to his apostles and he says, do you also want to leave? Do you also want to leave? And so we need to answer with St. Peter, Master, to whom shall we go? Really, where are we going to go? We're going to go to Buddha, become Buddhists because there's no judgment in that, right? Take the easy route. No, that's ridiculous. We need to stick with the truth, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.